going on, everybody? Welcome to Puck and Flamingo presents Canucks Corner. I'm Andrew. I got Zach and Steve here. We are so pumped to be back. How you guys doing?
Good, man. Doing really good. There's a little bit of a hiatus there, but feeling good to be back.
Yeah.
I'd chat with you guys again. It's always good.
Zach?
That's good. We'll try to shake the rust off here a little bit.
But... Yeah.
Whatever. It'll be fun.
Did I nail that intro? How'd I do?
It sounded good to me. It'll work.
Anybody said the right name.
Yeah.
Could have been worse.
Yeah. Nobody's it's paying true. For this, so they can't really complain that much.
That's right. Send your emails to Steve.
Exactly.
Awesome. I'll read those. Carry on.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Welcome back. Yeah, we did take a bit of a hiatus. I've been all over the world. I've been traveling. It was crazy, crazy time. I wanted to get it all done. Thankfully, it was during off season. So, yeah. You know,
well that way.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah, rub
it in harder.
Yeah, we're at it back. We're right back at it on time. Anyways, just in time for preseason. We have some news. We don't have huge news. We got some headliners.
A little bit of new stuff, a little bit of old stuff.
A little bit of new stuff, a little bit of old stuff. Yeah. Where do you guys want to start? Do you want to start with
Preseason?
Dude, let's start with preseason. That's where we're
start
at.
With preseason. Yeah. Let's start with maybe the first game then.
Seattle.
With the Seattle and the 5-3 loss.
Yeah.
Seattle.
The Crackers. But yeah. As we were talking here, I mean, it was basically our B team against almost their A team. So that's good for us.
They had a full roster, didn't they?
Oh yeah, I mean, if you can call Seattle's roster a full NHL roster, yeah, they did. Yeah. When Jared McCann is like your 1C, sure, they had their full roster. Yes.
Look, we only lost 5-3.
Yep.
Yeah, Driedger, Grubauer playing that, fucking Swartz, Larson, Giordano, basically everyone, Eberle,
wow,
McCann, all the big guys. So
yeah,
against our like Nick Patan and Besser line.
So we had our all-star lineup too, eh?
Patan had 2 points, 2 assists, though. Okay. It was nice to see Besser and Hog Ledger score, though. Even his preseason, just to bury one early is always good, especially for those guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Got a bit of confidence rolling early. I agree.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that being said, we won last game against Calgary. I don't think they didn't front too many of their A starters, but Paul Colson's had a good showing so far. Garland got a goal or an assist, was it?
He did score. It was actually a pretty nice rebound play.
Yeah.
He pushed the net pretty hard, got his own rebound, and then stuffed it. Like, basically what we expect Garland to do
right.
His time in Arizona. He's been looking good. Like, I'm pretty happy with, I mean, we said it before during the trade, but I'm pretty happy with that acquisition. And yeah, he's looking good out there. And I haven't seen much of Pod Colson in the games. I've just watched highlight packages so far. Mm. I just haven't had the time to actually sit down and watch a game, but some of the video from Pod Colson out of training camp has been really impressive. Yeah, him and that Kilmovich too. You know, they're impressing pretty well. So, you know, there's a few rookies and young guys out of Vancouver that I think maybe surprised a lot of people. I mean, maybe not other people, but to me, they've been kind of surprising that they've been kind of jumping to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, it's kind of lightening the load when we're worried about the PD and Hughes signing, that we've got this other young depth that's kind of coming to the forefront. It's nice. I don't think it's a luxury that we've had in Vancouver for a number of years now.
Oh, that's exactly. Right. Even someone you kind of mentioned up that list that I've been keeping an eye on is Lockwood. Mm-hmm. I really like what he's been seeing. He got assist in that in the Flames game. Just another one of those young guys to keep an eye on, like you're saying there.
Yep.
Yeah, that Garland goal off his own rebound, that was off that dirty little toe drag, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
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 That was after
I could get used to that
on the ice, right?
Is that after he pukes? Yeah. Man, so that's another thing we could talk about.
That bag skate, that's legendary.
Unreal. I sent you guys that video now.
Yeah.
I read an article today saying that OEL has impressed so far. But in that video, he showed his age, didn't he?
I mean, Ulevli was pretty much passed out. Even I think Miller came up to him, tapped him with a stick, and said, "You're right, bud. You're gonna make it." And he was just flat out. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's a short little clip, but the Travis Green bag skate's legendary. Apparently, if you don't come into shape in the training camp, you'll be falling behind fast. So
yeah,
it's kind of good to see from Green. That's kind of, you know, he's riding to see if he's going to keep his job. So to be kind of have that little bit of discipline, even with these old guys and all these new guys coming in, to kind of set the tone early is nice. So
yeah, for those who haven't seen it, you can Google it. I'm sure just Travis Green bagskate. But OEL he was far behind. I actually saw one of the comments. It was funny. It's like, what you don't know is he's two laps ahead of everybody.
Yeah, okay.
You know what? It was really funny.
He was falling behind. He was really dragging it near the end. But I'm sure, like, we didn't see the whole clip. He could have been doing that. That could have been his, who knows how many times he had skated the ice at that point.
Yeah. But so he's got lap two, you never know.
I mean, to me, it's like the vet coming into a training camp. Hey, like, I don't know, like, I wasn't too worried. Like, it was more funny than anything to just see him dragging across the ice, but I wasn't too worried. I mean, he's been there, done that. I'm sure he'll be in game shape come game one, and you know, he's impressing so far in these preseason games, at least in last night against Calgary, looked pretty good. So yeah, I don't know. I'm excited about it, man. We kind of talked about it. I don't know when it was, 2 months ago, whenever the last time was we talked, but it's nice to see him kind of finally hitting the ice. And, you know, even without two of our biggest stars, the team's still gelling. We've still got a lot of offensive punch, and it's exciting to see.
Yeah. That's Steve. Do you have anything else to say there?
Oh, I was just going to say, just going to add to the same thing, is it's not to worry so much about the Garland puking, the OEL kind of falling behind. The only thing is that kind of got in the doghouse was Ulevli. I know Green kind of made a statement about that, and was, for someone that's been through the camp before and knows what to expect and not to show up on time, and someone that needs to prove himself. So I think that hurts chances making the roster.
Yeah.
Green wasn't too happy.
Yeah, we'll see how that pans out over the rest of the preseason.
Especially with the new news that we're going to talk about in a little bit too, right, with Hamonic. So
yeah, so let's jump to that. I mean, we've kind of – I was gonna go to PD and Hughes because we've already mentioned it twice.
We can go with PD Hughes.
We'll keep building it up. No, I'm sure we'll mention it again during Hamonic talk. So let's go. Mm-hmm. Travis Hamonic. So he's not – he's asked for a trade.
Yeah. Originally, I think it was he wanted to opt. He didn't know if he was going to retire, if he was on opt out for the season. Zach, with his almighty knowledge, informed us it had something more to do with COVID effects and not having to be able to travel back and forth over the border. And he wants to get traded to an American team, if I'm correct with that, Zach.
Well, that is rumor. I mean, what they're officially saying is it's family issues, which, you know, they're keeping it in house, which. It's tough to do nowadays, right? Like, there's so much speculation as soon as anything goes on that way. But apparently he has requested a trade to the States. And the assumption there is it's so that he doesn't have to cross the border, because by NHL rules, unvaccinated players won't be allowed to travel into Canada. So the idea there is if he can go in the States, he can at least play, I don't know, whatever it would be, 70% of the games, 75% of the games. Yeah. But again, that's all just rumor. It's cited officially as family reasons. So I don't really want to add any fire to that. Not that too many people listen to this anyway. We're not going to be making Sportsnet, but at the same time, that's the official word out of it. But it sounds like as of today, he has requested a trade to an American team.
Yeah, which is funny because, you know, during the offseason, I mean, we spoke about it on here, how he wanted to come back. It was it was headline news. You know, he said openly he wanted to play in Vancouver. He was looking forward to playing in Vancouver. So, yeah, something fishy going on there.
So with him gone, I mean, do we trade him for a bag of pucks and take the cap to try to sign PD and Hughes? Or do we try to use that to fill that spot? Obviously, same with Ulevli kind of in the doghouse. Maybe he doesn't make the team this year. Or, you know, it's obviously that's not everything that's going to be the factor, but it's a big thing. Who else is going to step on, right? Is it Rathbone? Who's gonna finish? Who's gonna be our last pairing? Is the big question, I guess. Or he's gonna play with Hughes.
Well, I'm thinking it'll probably be Luke Shen who would step in. I don't know at this point, probably with Jack Rathbone on that 3D, that third defensive pairing. But yeah, I mean, it is a big hit, obviously, to our right side on defense. But
yeah,
right-handed shot too, right?
Although, remember the last time we spoke about this, we needed right-handed D, and we went out and we signed too many right-handed D, didn't we?
Yeah.
But
we are good with them now. So
whether or not they're good enough to make the final roster, I guess that's time will tell.
Yeah, I guess Shen is kind of the leading role. Is that something that is gonna be permanent? I guess is kind of the question. He wasn't doing too bad, but I guess it's only time will tell, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be very interesting preseason. I mean, so much still has to get done. So many people still have to prove themselves. It would be hard for me to. Well, do you guys have a final roster idea? Do you think it's too early?
I think it's too early with the Hamonic thing if they're gonna make a trade or not, right?
But it's hard. It's hard to trade someone who requests a trade, especially someone who. In his scenario, who pretty much can't play, right? Benning's hand is
tied.
Yeah, he can't do anything now. The only option is trade him, and every GM around the league knows that.
So, right, his price just dropped.
Exactly.
I mean, I think either way, it would just be it's going to be a cap dump. I mean, it's not like Hamonic's a guy who can't play, and he's got an anchor of a contract, right? So I think that, you know, even if it is essentially for a bag of pucks or future considerations, whatever wording they want to throw on it, I think the Canucks will facilitate that. And I think any team that's looking for it, I mean, you're picking up a right defense, you know, for $3 million who's serviceable, right? It's not like, again, you're not picking up dead weight here, you're picking up a right. player who can play. So I don't know, I think they'll get it done. I think they'll facilitate it, make it work for both parties.
Do we retain some draft picks? I think we're still missing a few over the next couple of years, aren't we?
But what would we get for him? A fifth, right?
Wow. I don't think so. I think he's like
fourth.
I mean, he's a decent enough defenseman,
knowing his price and knowing that he wants out, right?
I don't
you're saying that the value drops.
I don't think in this new COVID era where, you know, where cap space is really king at this stage, I don't think we're getting anything for him. I think it'll be future considerations, especially when you look at what Marc-Andre Fleury went for, a Vezina winning goalie. I don't expect to get anything back.
Is that something we can base ourselves off of that trade? I mean,
I think there's something fishy going on in Las Vegas there. I don't know. Someone didn't like Marc-Andre for whatever reason. Do you remember when he got snubbed in the playoffs? Was it 2 or 3 years ago? And his agent posted the picture of him with the sword in his back. Did you see that, Zach?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was 2 years ago. Yeah, that was wild to me. I mean,
like, who does that unless there's bad blood?
I think just Pete DeBoer doesn't like him. Ultimately, yeah. I don't know. He has a tendency to stick with Leonard. I think it's a huge mistake, but whatever.
Yeah. That's just one of Vezina.
Exactly. Yeah. The guy won a Vezina. He carried your team. He's essentially the face of that franchise since they got, since they started in Vegas, he's been the face of it. And it's to true. Kind of treat him like that was brutal to me, especially if the rumors are true that he did find out over Twitter that he got traded. That's brutal to me.
It's like getting breaking up with your ex or breaking with your girlfriend over text.
I've never done that.
No, but it's like it's happened to me.
My exes definitely aren't listening to this. So nobody knows.
Nobody wants to listen to me. My exes want to listen to me talk. I can tell you that right now.
Good. We're all
the last thing that they're doing.
We're all in the same boat then.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, no. So anyway, after that tangent, I think we'll be able to trade Hamonic You know, I don't expect anything in return, but I think we'll facilitate a trade. And ideally, I think the biggest key to that could be actually the cap space when it comes to signing these two prima donnas and getting them onto the ice. So we'll see what happens there.
Another drop.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, we can just move right into
it's
that.
Let's just like, go into us now.
Let's do it.
Yeah, gloves are off.
Gloves are off. Yeah. Okay, guys. So, I mean, let's be real. So, I mean, so before I went traveling and stuff like that, right? I mean, it has been a little while since we spoke. We did take some time in the off season. And I kind of said to you guys, like, let's just play it by ear. Once something big happens with Petey and Hughes, we'll pop back on. It still hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. Preseason has forced us to come back. Like, yeah. You know, there was no Canucks news. And now preseason's finally started. And these guys are still not signed. Is this a huge red flag for you?
You go ahead.
Okay. For me, I don't know. I'm really confused. I don't know if it's a red flag per se. I feel like they're going to get a deal done. I just feel that it's not going to be the deal that Canucks want. I think they're trying to sign maybe a longer term, maybe 4 or 5 years, and they're maybe wanting 3. Especially with like Pedersen's comments saying he wants to kind of see where the team goes, yeah, and if they're gonna be a winning team, right? So that's kind of where I think they are, is that the Canucks want them for a little bit longer than they do. But then you have the different contracts around too. So I'd like to get to Quinn Hughes, if you guys are cool with that. So Darlene signed for what, 3 years, $6 million. And then you have Cale Makar, that's 9.5 for, I think he's a max year. Is he 8 or 7 or something like that? He's up there. And so where do we sign Quinn at? Where do you think he is between Darlene and Makar? Because he's not Makar, right? As much as people want to say that him and Makar are side by side, I think Makar is a way better overall defenseman. So where do you think his price lines up?
That's tough to say. And I tend to agree with you as far as, cause there were two big signings. I'm actually just trying to find them here, but it was Makar and, who's the defenseman out of Dallas? The other young guy.
Hiskanen.
Hiskanen.
Yeah. Yeah. Miro Hiskanen. Yeah. So those two guys, sorry. And again, they're like, I would agree. They're on another level from Hughes. I'm not saying that Hughes won't reach that level, but
do you think Hiskanen's on a,
yeah,
I think so. He's just, yeah, he runs so much back there. He's way better defensively, that's for sure. I'd say so. I think both of them are, but the idea with Hughes, I don't know what he's going to sign at, to be honest. I heard that they were trying to get him in around, you know, the 5 to 6 range, but I think the contract to Tyler Myers was kind of a sticking point in Hughes' camp, because they were basically saying if Myers is signed at 6, then he's going to deserve a lot more than that. That's what I was reading.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know how true that is. And I do think Hughes has a lot more upside, obviously, than Myers does. But I think Myers' contract was also... Sorry? Yeah.
More upside. Yeah, a lot more.
Yeah, but it's so tough now, because since the whole kind of COVID thing flipped the NHL on its head, like, it's tough to even compare contracts signed pre and post that happening. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really know how you even gauge it, to be honest, nowadays. And that's why I kind of figured that they would both sign shorter term bridge deals to try to boost their earnings kind of once things level off and, you know, the cap starts to move up a little bit and we kind of know where everything is headed. But as far as estimating a number, I have no idea, to be honest, where these guys will sign for. I would assume Pete somewhere between 8 to 8.5. And I would hope to get Hughes somewhere around 6 to 6.5. But if they have a sticking point with Myers' contract, then I don't know how realistic that is.
Yeah, I was thinking Quinn was probably going to try to ask. We'll probably end up around more of the high 6s, 7s.
Yeah, for how many years? Because
3. Now, I think he wants to stick with Petey. Sorry for interrupting, but
no, please.
They left. Petey left his agent to be with Quinn. They're both in Michigan right now. They're hanging out at the Michigan football game. They're taking pictures together. You know what I mean? These guys see themselves together, in my opinion, right? So if Petey's kind of on a 3-year, I think Quinn's going to try to be on the same I think it's more contract length that they're off, not so much money. So but yeah, I think that's what they're stalling out for, is they want shorter contracts. But go ahead. Sorry
you for think, interrupting you think, Yeah, no, it's fine. So you think they want shorter contracts. Now I remember listening, this was back again when we were doing, it must have been just after the draft and after Free Agent Frenzy and stuff like that, when we had our episodes, and you know, people were saying, when do you start getting worried about Hughes and Pettersson contract? And you know, all the analysts are saying, well, when training camp starts. Yeah. I mean, we're past training camp, you know, yeah. And now I'm not worried that a deal's not going to get done. I think they both will get done. But like you said, I think they're far apart on term. Maybe not anymore, but at least at one point they really were. And I don't know how much the Canucks management wants them to be short-term contracts.
Yeah, I don't think they do at all.
Because once you have to think, like, we have a lot of expenses coming down the pipeline. You know, if we sign both these guys to 3 years, we could be fucked in 3 years. Pucked.
Yep.
We could be pucked. Puck and flamingos.
100%. If we have, you know, 8 major contracts come out the same year, negotiating, yeah, it's not going to be good.
Needless to say, is they can't do that, right? Somebody's has to be, some one contract has to be longer than the other to give us at least some playing room for, yeah, trades and whatnot when the time comes, to free up the cap space to sign the next guy.
So if we sign him for longer, we're going to have to up the price though, right?
Probably, yeah. If we're buying up UFA years, it'll probably have to a bit more expensive. Well, I mean, like, to
and
me,
I could,
like,
see that. Sorry, Zach. I could see that getting done with Quinn, just because he's a defenseman, right?
Yeah.
And he played a full year.
I agree with you. If it's gonna be longer, it's gonna be Quinn.
Sorry, Zach. Go ahead.
I would think so too. Like, for me, specifically thinking about Petey, like, I look back at Braden Point. So Braden Point just signed his big contract, right? He's got 1 year left at his bridge deal, which is 6.75. Obviously, he's a winger, not a centerman, but he was signed at 6.75 times 3 for his bridge deal, right? Now he's signed for 8 times 9.5. He's proven himself, you know, that's, he's worth every penny of that deal. But heading into, I'm just trying to find Point stats heading into when he signed that contract. So before he signed it, I mean, he had a 92-point season, okay? Mm. So we're looking at, obviously, a different team, right? Like, the Tampa Bay Lightning were on the upswing. they were moving there, right? But he signed in 2019-2020 for 6.75. Well, 2018-2019, Braden Point had 41 goals, 51 assists, and 92 points in 79 games. So if Pete thinks he's in any kind of bargaining territory, like Braden Point, like, he's off his rocker. Yeah. I mean, this guy, yes, better team. I understand that he also plays the wing. But, I mean, if I'm looking at Pete and he's wanting to sign a bridge deal, I'm throwing him, you know, 6.5 to 7. Like, and that's max. And I would literally have Braden Point's contract, Braden Point's points right in front of him and say, look, this is what we'll do. And we'll open the vault to you after this. If you can prove yourself, we'll sign you to 8 years, 9.5, 10, whatever it is at that point. But, like, that's the one sticking point to me. If we're talking franchise offensive players, Braden Point's contract structures are kind of, that's what I look at. And if that's the gold standard, then, you know, I don't think Pete has done enough to deserve, you know, a massive contract right now. I would sign him to a bridge and then kind of open the vault to him at that point. As far as, you know, Quinn Hughes goes, I get what you're saying with staggering contract lengths, just so we don't have to sign everybody at the same time. And I tend to agree. Like, I would probably go a bit longer term on Hughes. I mean, we've also, like you guys were talking about, as far as contract crunch coming up, we've got Horvat coming up in 23-24, same with JT Miller, right? And Miller, winger and a centerman, and he takes most of Petey's draws for him. So, you know, I don't know. There is going to be a cap and crunch coming.
Besser's due soon as well, isn't there?
Yeah, when is Besser due, actually? Besser 22-23, so Yeah, so he's got 1 year left on his bridge deal, which at right. 5.875, you know, again, steal. Like I,
it so, is. But that's the other question you ask, right? So said you're right. So we sign. You tell Petey we sign him to a short term deal. You know, in a few years we'll give you big bucks. And as he's sitting there saying bullshit, you're not going to have big bucks.
I don't think so.
You have to sign these three guys.
But Petey is potentially like a bona fide 1C superstar, like. He just has to prove that he can withstand the grind of an NHL season, right? So I'd be perfectly comfortable signing to a 6.5, 6.75, 3 year deal, some bridge contract that's going to, you know, pay him handsomely, but we aren't, you know, neither of us are on the hook long term. He still has to prove that he can be healthy through a full season, right? That he can actually withstand the rigors of the NHL. And so to me, I don't know, like that's where I am at PD. Like I see some numbers thrown around where just, you know, open the vaults to him now. I wouldn't, not in any case. Like I like PD. I want him to be a Canuck long term, but you know, it to me it doesn't make sense yet.
Yeah. I completely agree.
And so we haven't really spoken since he made those comments. Steve, I think you mentioned it to the media about seeing where the team wants to go. Mm-hmm. So Where's your guys' stance on that? I think I said something in the chat group, and Steve, you were kind of blown away that I said it. Like, so he basically said that he's not going to play in Vancouver if they're not going to win, right? Which obviously every hockey player wants to win.
Yeah, if he doesn't see the team going in the direction he wants to see it. So I don't know if it's based, which obviously interprets winning. But it doesn't mean necessarily that they have to win a Stanley Cup. Right.
Yeah. But I mean, it's my understanding everyone gets along in the dressing room. And we know PD wants to win, but this is the same guy. Okay. This is the same guy that threw his silver medal in the stands after he lost a game.
Was that PD? I thought it was the Rangers prospect.
No, I think it was it was definitely PD.
Okay.
Right. So to me, again, like you said, Zach, that screams a bit of a prima donna. So like, not only is he able to physically withstand the pressures of the NHL, but is he emotionally able to withstand the pressures of the NHL? Like no one likes losing, right? But players still have respect. And again, he was young. He was a kid. I'm not holding it against him, but his comments kind of made me think back to that. I was like, oh shit. Right. Are we seeing this again? And it kind of worried me, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, you know what though? I just checked just for clarification. It was the Swedish captain Elias Andersson. So the name sounds familiar. It wasn't Petey who threw it. I just had to check that because I was curious. It was Elias Andersson who threw the silver medal. So, but yeah, the Swedish names.
Elias Andersson, Elias Pettersson.
Yeah. yeah. But I just wanted to clarify. And I also, Elias. I pulled up Petey's exact quote here. So he says, quote, "I want to stay there," and he's talking about Vancouver now, "but I also want to play for a team that's winning and has a chance to go far into the playoffs every year." So that's what he told the Swedish hockey website. And, you know, to me, I'm not actually that off put by those comments. I think he is a competitive guy. I think we saw it mostly. I remember thinking that he was a fairly soft player up until that little play-in series against Minnesota. It would have been in the bubble that 2 years ago, I guess. And I can't remember who it was he threw down. I think it was Fiala, which isn't a heavyweight by any means, but Fiala was really torching the Canucks and he was being a thorn in their side. And you could see Petey actually get pissed and run him into the end boards. And that to me was like a huge sign. Like, right, he's here to play, right? Like, because, you know, I had never seen Petey actually play that kind of a physical game before. So to me, like, I get it. I understand how the comments can kind of rub you the wrong way, but I mean, I kind of like that he does want to win, that he's, you know, he is serious about it.
I apologize. I was, when I heard those comments, I immediately referred to those memories I had because I thought I was Elias Pettersson. So that changes everything. It changes my vision of what he said. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Your perspective of it now.
Yeah. So, but even that being said, even if I did believe it was him that threw the medal in the past, I still have that side where I do lean to him to respecting someone who wants to win, because every hockey player wants to win. I understand that desire.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I would say, like, everyone. There's a few Russians I can think of.
But no. But no, so anyways, I do understand his thought process there, and I know Petey is a straight guy. Like, we've all seen him in media scrums, you know. We know he doesn't beat around the bush. Like,
yeah,
he's an honest guy, and he if you ask him a stupid question, you'll know it. So that I do respect. But anyways, I hope he gets a deal done, like, soon.
Yeah,
we I want to see these guys here on the ice. How many more preseason games do we have? Like,
we have October.
We start 1st, October,
and then the 3rd, 8th, I believe.
Right? Is it mid October?
It's October 1st. We have one against the Flames, and then we have one on the 3rd against the Jets. Another one on the 2nd, October 5th, with the Kraken. And our last preseason will be October 7th, which is a Thursday, against the Oilers.
And the season starts October 12th? It was 8 or 12, maybe.
October 13th. Against the 13th. Oilers. Yeah.
October 13th.
So, yeah.
Wednesday against the Oilers. So
we're looking at basically nearly 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's coming up quick. And I don't know. I mean, I'd love to see them on the ice too. The other thing too is that, like, this showcase by the Canucks depth, especially like Rathbone coming up on the left side, left D. Like, I'm not saying that he's better than Hughes by any means. I'm not saying that he's going to take his position, but when you start to see young offensive defensemen that are actually pushing in our lineup, like, that doesn't actually bode well for Hughes's bargaining power. And, you know, if the Canucks can come out of the gate without Petey and Hughes, like if Benning does decide to play hardball, because again, the other annoying part about, you know, me as a fan anyway, that's annoying. I'm not saying it as a player, but the annoying part of them having the same agency, the same representation, is that, you know, you get the feeling that you aren't going to sign one of them without the other. You're going to sign them both at the same time, which is frustrating because, again, like, it's yeah, it's just kind of annoying. It's kind of, it's really cornering the organization a little bit, especially with two star players like that. But, you know, if we can come out of training camp looking good, if we can start off the season, you know, kind of on a roll, like, we do have decent center depth up front. Like, JT Miller can switch to center. We've got winger depth now with guys like Garland, Podkolzin, Pearson, like Besser. We've got guys who can step in and play a top six role. So, I think that the longer this goes on, I mean, this is obviously, fingers crossed, that the Canucks actually come out of the gate with some heat, but, you know, this could really play against both of them when it comes to bargaining on these contracts.
Do you really think we're still in bargaining stage? It's gotta be like,
my question is, how long do you guys think it's actually go past the preseason?
I understand what you're saying, Zach. Like, I
can't
completely
see it go
agree.
Past the preseason.
Like, I agree with the logic, but honestly, like, it would shock me if these guys didn't suit up for game one of of the season.
Oh, it would shock me too. I'm not saying that I think that they won't, but I think the fact that they bundled together with the agency, with their agents, I think that was a sign that they were going to play hardball. And now the longer that it goes, the more it feels like they're really trying to do that. Right. Mm. So, I mean, again, if we trade Hamonic, free up another $3 million cap space, I think that would put us, like we had talked about, somewhere around $16 million. Still, we would have to fill in a depth defenseman on the right side. Obviously, we need, whether it's just a fill-in guy like Luke Shen could move up, but then you still want depth in the organization. So I really don't know how they're going to allot that. Like, I think reasonably on bridge contracts, you should be able to get both of those guys signed for around $14 million. Like, I wouldn't be opening the vault to these guys at all yet. Yeah. Yet. More so, like, I would be more open to Hughes, to be honest, just because he's that new age defenseman, the guy who, he's a puck mover, he can skate, he's offensive, he's dynamic, that kind of thing. But Petey, it just comes down to health primarily is what I want to see more out of him. And so I would stick almost exclusively to a bridge contract with Pettersson, but that's just me.
Fair enough. I agree. Yeah. Yeah. We should get together, boys, and watch a preseason.
Yeah, we should. I'd be totally down for that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I haven't been on any of your guys' live streams yet, so we could just live stream the event.
We should do that. If you are listening and you wanna live stream, let us know. The great debate.
Yeah,
we gotta get on the great debate, Steve.
Everything going. Yeah, we can do it.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Okay, well, thanks for coming on. It was fucking awesome to be back. That was
glad to be doing this again. Missed you guys.
Yeah, I know, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
We took off like where we left off, really. Yeah. Like, this is gonna be another episode with zero post editing. So anyway, except for maybe my fuck up of Pedersen stats. Facts, sorry, not stats.
Well, that all just sounds stupid coming in on
all the post talk about it. Yeah.
It's like, why is this guy saying Pedersen? Actually?
Yeah, poor guy. Now I feel fucking awful.
No, man. It's all good. I was questioning the same thing too. I was like, wait, am I wrong? Because I thought it was the whole time.
I at least we all know it's clear now. So
this whole time I thought it was him. I've been holding that over his head since 2016 or whatever, 2018.
Oh, that's guy. Awesome. Well, there we go. We cleared it up.
Thank you.
Perfect.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming on. Everyone, thanks for listening. If you're watching us on YouTube or seeing us on your Facebook or Instagram feed, you can catch us on Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts. Now we are finally on Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcast people. Everyone's been hugging us to get on Apple. We finally did it. So.
That's true. Yeah. Gord.
I'm positive about the 2 month break.
That's right. So yeah, thanks for joining in, guys. We'll be right back at it next week. No doubt about it. And stay tuned. So thanks. Peace, guys.
Peace out.
We're back. I blame all of these new era like contract negotiations on the Leafs players, on Kyle Dubas and Kyle Dubas, Austin Matthews and that other skinny kid, Mitch Marner. Yeah, those three. The Swedish kid too, but Nylander. They bent that organization over and they took them for every penny they possibly could. And that's what now every single guy coming out of his RFA years is trying to do. They're all going for the Austin Matthews, walk them right to free agency, getting as much money as they possibly can. And then they're going to go do whatever they want to do because they're UFA. And that's what this is all coming down to now. It drives me absolutely nuts. All of these contract negotiations come back to the Leafs.
It comes down to, do you want $10 million a year or do you want to make it past the first round, right?
That's exactly it. Do you want to sign half your cap to four forwards or do you want to actually build a team?
You put Tavares in there. I think those four players is like over 75% of the team by most teams. That's their cap. Like, it's just insane. So you're filling in. They wonder why they can't have a all-star goalie, I guess. You know, Anderson was decent, but not what they needed, right?
So. Oh, I cannot wait to see Anderson light the league on fire in Carolina this year.
Oh, yeah.
And Toronto Maple Leafs fans are just going to be pissing their pants. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
It's going to be absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Just one of those things. It's like for those anyone that does listen to watch football, there's Sam Darnold used to play for the Jets, and everyone talked about how Darnold sucks and all this stuff, and he gets traded to Carolina and he's a top 10 quarterback, 3-0. I guess who it was, right? So it's just that almost the same type of thing, right? These guys want to get paid because they have one good year and then can't keep it consistent. So
and there's no room for team friendly anymore coming out of RFA. I mean, like I said, like Matthews snatched that right out of him. 5 years, walks him straight to UFA so that he can leave to wherever he wants to. He's getting paid top dollar in the meantime.
Yeah.
It's just that contract is, to me anyway, is where everything flipped.
Do you think he would? Do you think he'd leave Toronto?
Oh yeah. There's no way he's resigning in Toronto. No way. He's walking right down back home to Arizona. I don't think there's
is
any
the team
way
even going to still be in Arizona by the time his contract's up.
That's a good point, and probably not. But you know, they might hold out hope, just hoping that he signs there. But
yeah,
I don't know, man. That to me is where the contracts kind of started going a little bit squirrely. And then, I mean, you've also got the Kachucks holding out. Matthew did, what was it, last year? Brady's holding out this year too. It's a different world now. With sorry,
it's a new cool thing.
Yeah, it's a different world with RFAs now. I mean, it's easy for us to complain about this. We have
the Leafs to blame.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line for everything. For everything in the league, blame the Leafs. It can all go back for the Leafs.
Yeah. For those of you who stuck it out past the credits, this is the blame the Leafs portion of the podcast, and we thank you for listening this far. Tune in next time. We are the boys at Puck and Flamingo. Adios.
See ya.
Peace out.